What are the most important goals you have for Alabama?
Well, we come in to states when we are invited in and when we have an active membership that's ready to get mobilized. The governor has been very clear that he wants to take on education reform, and you've got some legislators also who are ready to take this on.
Is it the governor's office that invited you? You said you were invited. Who invited you?
Well, we did have some conversations with the governor and some legislatures, but we were in conversations with lots of our members as well.
Would I be right to assume that school choice, charter schools would be the most important issues, followed maybe a close second by a revamping teacher evaluation here in Alabama?
Those are two important ones. First, in terms of charter schools, Alabama is one of only 9 states across the country that doesn't have charter school and charter school laws in place. And while charter schools are not the end-all be-all, they're certainly not the answer. What we've seen is that in states that have put together and put in place really smart charter school laws, that you can have a tremendous amount of innovation happen in those schools.
Do you have research on whether, if kids really are, and kids in all the struggling school systems around here, like say in Birmingham, if they are really to get a high degree of choice, is there room for them somewhere else?
No family should ever feel like they're in a situation where they're trapped in a failing school, and that there always have to be options. And the number of options that exist is different depending on the communities that you go into. Right now, Alabama is in a situation that because there is not a charter law in place, people don't have a lot of choices within the public school realm, which is, you know, what charter schools are. They are public schools, or more broadly. So what we advocate is that, you know, you should put charter laws in place. You should have accountability, and then voucher programs for low-income kids to be able to attend private schools is also something that we're pursuing in a number of other states, because we believe it's a way to expand the choices and options for families. Whether or not there are enough private schools in a particular area to serve kids really depends, but what we've found oftentimes is when you have a voucher program in place, that you will see schools make more room and that you'll see some new schools open up as well.
Interesting. Sort of a field of dreams approach.
you can look at it like that. But I do really think that the more a jurisdiction is open to the concept of saying, okay, we want kids just to get a great education, we're less concerned about where they get that education and more just concerned about the quality, that provides an opportunity where people are going to think really creatively about what's possible. And then, as you said, the teacher evaluation piece is sort of a fundamental part of any reform effort, because as you probably know, the in-school factor that has the greatest impact on student achievement is the quality of teacher in front of the classroom every day. So we have to do whatever we can to ensure that we've got the most highly effective teachers in front of students. And the only way that you can really know that is if you have a high-quality evaluation tool in place. Then you can start to pursue a number of other reforms, including merit and performance pay for teachers.
Concretely, what does your group favor as far as the standards that would be included in a new teacher evaluation in Alabama?
Well, one of the most important things we help states to develop is a teacher evaluation system that takes student achievement and growth into account.
Based on what? Because if you look
across the country right now, the vast majority of evaluation systems, the teacher is being evaluated with absolutely no look towards how their students are achieving. That's a teacher's job, so that has to play a large part. You look at the students that particular teacher had during the course of the year. You measure their academic achievement levels at the beginning of the year. Then you measure them again at the end of the year, and you look for growth. But we are very firm believers that you should never evaluate teachers solely on the basis of test scores or just one measure. And then another measure that we think has a tremendous amount of potential is that there's a very high correlation between how students rate their teachers and how effective those teachers are.
The name of your group, Students First, implies that other organizations don't necessarily put students first. Do you expect a lot of pushback from the AEA, which, as we know, is very powerful here in Alabama?
we always think that a healthy dialogue is important, but part of the reason why we formed Students First is because if you look over the last 20 to 30 years in this country, the education agenda has largely been driven by these special interest groups. You have textbook manufacturers, you have teachers' unions, you have testing companies. You've got all these special interests with lots of money, lots of resources who are influencing policymakers and politicians. You don't have an organized national interest group that's advocating on behalf of children. You end up with a skewed landscape of laws that don't take kids into account, and we're going to make sure that we are as loud a voice at the Capitol as anyone else. Our bureaucratic school districts and the way that they're structured oftentimes do not serve the best interests of kids, and there are a lot of defenders of the status quo, and it really is a fight to try to get things to change. But in my opinion, there's no better cause to fight for than kids. That's what we need to do.
Ms. Reed, thank you so much for your time.